What if the most important career move you could make isn't climbing higher, but connecting sideways? In 1999, Adam Rifkin was just another struggling engineer when he sent a cold email to Graham Spencer, who had just pocketed $6.7 billion from selling Excite.com. Against all odds, Spencer replied. Why? 5 years earlier, they'd collaborated on a punk rock webpage, a seemingly trivial connection that changed Rifkin's trajectory forever. This moment captures what network science has proven. Success isn't about who you know, but about understanding the invisible web connecting everyone. Your career, your opportunities, even your happiness, all are shaped by forces you can't see, but can learn to navigate. Here's something that feels wrong, but turns out to be true. The people who will most change your life are probably not your closest friends. When sociologist Mark Granovetter studied job searches in the 1970s, he discovered something startling. Over 55% of people found opportunities through acquaintances they saw only occasionally, while fewer than 17% came from frequent contacts. Your best friends, despite caring deeply, live in the same information bubble you do. Consider how Lorenzo Fertitta and Dana White transformed the UFC. After reconnecting at a wedding years after high school, they combined White's fighter knowledge with Fertitta's casino connections to turn what Newsweek called the worst brand in the United States into a $4 billion empire. Their partnership succeeded precisely because years apart had given them access to different worlds. Duke researcher Martin Roof discovered that business ideas from weak ties, connections bridging different social clusters, produced more innovative ventures. Even more powerful are dormant ties, former colleagues you haven't spoken to in years. Daniel Levin's research showed that reconnecting after 3 years often yielded more valuable advice than current contacts, offering fresh perspectives with surprising trust. Scott Harrison's Charity Water exemplifies this. After witnessing poverty with mercy ships, he tackled the water crisis by reactivating dormant ties from his nightclub promoter days. His 31st birthday fundraiser launched a revolutionary model. 100% of donations go directly to water projects. Those old connections inspired a storytelling approach traditional charities weren't using. Ever discover an unexpected mutual friend with a stranger? These small world moments reveal how networks function. Stanley Milgram's 1960s experiment found we're separated by just 5.2 people on average. Facebook research shows even shorter paths, 3.57 degrees between billions of users. Cornell researchers Steven Strogatz and Duncan Watts explained this mathematically. A few random connections across an ordered network dramatically shorten communication chains. We don't create networks. We already exist inside one vast human web. The most valuable position isn't at the top of a hierarchy. It's at the intersection of different groups. Ronald Burt's research showed that brokers who connected different organizational clusters generated more innovations, earned higher salaries, and received faster promotions. Organizations naturally form silos with dense internal connections, but few bridges between them. These gaps, structural holes, create opportunities for those who span them. Michelle McKenna Doyle's path to NFL CIO exemplifies this power. Despite no direct NFL connections, a former Disney colleague turned headhunter connected her to the search firm, enabling her to pitch directly to league leadership. Adam Kleinbaum's research revealed successful brokers were organizational misfits with atypical career paths spanning multiple business units. General Stanley McChrystal discovered this commanding joint special operations in Iraq, where communication gaps between elite units allowed Al-Qaeda to exploit vulnerabilities. McChrystal created a team of teams by establishing an embedding program where operators temporarily joined other units, building cross-branch trust. To assess if you're a broker, list your most influential contacts, who introduced you to each, and anyone you've introduced them to. Network science reveals that both excessive and insufficient clustering damage growth. Burt and Merluzzi's study of investment bankers showed that those oscillating between project teams and brokering connections earned the highest rewards. Brian Uzi's research on New York's garment industry confirmed that companies with a mixture of close-knit ties and arm's-length ties had the highest survival rates. Those too clustered or too disconnected both suffered. When natural clusters don't exist, entrepreneurial individuals create them. In 2008, four friends launched Summit Series with a ski trip for 15 entrepreneurs, including Facebook's Dustin Moskovitz and Tom's Shoes' Blake Mycoskie. This evolved into recurring events that catalyzed numerous ventures and helped Spotify launch in the United States. Designer Tina Roth Eisenberg created Creative Mornings in 2008 as monthly breakfast events featuring speakers on creative topics, now hosted in over 100 cities. The most innovative work often comes from temporary collaborations. The PayPal Mafia exemplifies this. After eBay's 2002 acquisition, departing employees like Peter Thiel, Elon Musk, and Reid Hoffman founded or invested in LinkedIn, Facebook, Tesla, SpaceX, and YouTube. Their success stemmed from maintaining loose connections while forming temporary teams for specific ventures. IDO mirrors this model, assembling diverse, project-based teams that disband after completion. Network science reveals superconnectors are critical nodes holding the human network together. Brian Grazer transformed from a Warner Bros. Law clerk into a Hollywood power player by insisting he deliver documents directly to recipients, gaining access to influential figures. When a senior executive's office became vacant, he boldly claimed it. His pitch was simple: introduce himself, clarify he wasn't seeking a job, and request just 5 minutes. This connected him with legends like Lou Wasserman, who gave him career-defining advice. While Robin Dunbar theorized humans maintain 150 connections, Tyler McCormick's research revealed the average is 611, four times higher. More significantly, distribution follows a power law. Some individuals maintain dramatically larger networks. Albert Laszlo Barabasi identified superconnectors who not only possess vast contacts, but keep everyone more closely connected. Jordan Harbinger, once shy with social anxiety, realized during law school that success depended on relationships. Observing his mentor Dave, who earned more by bringing in clients than billing hours, transformed his approach. Harbinger launched the Art of Charm podcast, reaching 5 million monthly listeners, discovering that connecting people in his network created reciprocal value. To become a superconnector, make generous introductions part of your routine. Aim for at least one weekly, always explaining why two people should connect. Ever noticed how the rich get richer and the famous become more famous? This principle, preferential attachment, explains why building connections gets easier over time. After bankruptcy, Jason Guinard hosted mastermind dinners for entrepreneurs, starting with cold calls to secure 8 attendees. Despite nearly canceling from nervousness, the event succeeded brilliantly. His network now grows organically through referrals as he expanded to annual mastermind talks capped at 150 entrepreneurs. Network scientists Barabasi and Albert identified two key concepts: growth, networks continuously evolve, and preferential attachment. New people connect to already well-connected individuals. The Mona Lisa exemplifies this. After being stolen in 1911, over 100,000 people visited it in 2 days following its recovery. Each generation learns about it as the world's most famous painting, perpetuating its fame. Tim Ferriss demonstrated strategic positioning when launching his first book. Rather than pursuing mainstream media, he identified 10 to 15 blogs popular with his target demographic and had them write simultaneously, creating the perception he was ubiquitous. Christina Lerman's research proved that when just 3 highly connected people promoted an idea, everyone appeared connected to it. Facebook's campus-by-campus expansion brilliantly leveraged this. Limiting membership to specific colleges created concentrated networks where multiple invitations made it appear everyone was joining. In our hyper-connected world, we confuse followers with friends and contacts with connections. Your network isn't just a tool for advancement, it's the invisible architecture shaping your health, happiness, and opportunities. The most successful people don't just collect contacts. They understand the hidden currents of human connection. They oscillate between deep tribal engagement and strategic brokering across divides, leveraging the snowball effect while seeking diverse perspectives to avoid echo chambers. The lesson is clear. Target the right early adopters and super connectors within your community rather than trying to reach everyone at once. Stop networking like it's a transaction. Start building relationships like they're the foundation of everything you'll become. Reconnect with that former colleague. Introduce two people who should know each other. Host dinners with 6 to 12 people, mixing old friends and new contacts on a regular schedule. Every relationship you nurture ripples outward in ways you may never fully comprehend, but will certainly feel.